blotted out or blotting out. What does it mean? And as always, what does it mean to us? Basically, that's what you want to know about God's Word. What does it mean to you whereby you can please Him? Because when you please Him, you receive blessings from Him. Inasmuch as there is nothing new under the sun, and as the raindrops fall into the Mississippi, and they run down through the Gulf of Mexico back into the ocean, the sun picks it up, takes it back up into the hills, it falls again, and there's nothing new under the sun. And therefore, it makes it very easy for we students of God's plan, because He has a rehearsal over and over and over. It's a matter of us picking up on the ages, the earth ages. And let's take the word eons, or I'm sorry, let's take the word, I got my languages confused. Let's take the word in the English, eternity. What does it mean in the Greek? It's much like, and I'm going to pronounce this in the Greek so it won't sound right to you, like we have the word eon, all right? It's eones, all right? It sounds like I'm saying it plural. I'm not. That's a Greek word. But it's important that you know the definition of the word in the Greek, and it is this, that it's all the way from the beginning. There is no in-betweens. There's no stop-offs in a hole in the ground. There is no, really, if you want to know, our word pre-existence is bad terminology, because the soul exists from the day it was created. It didn't pre-exist. You either are a part of the eternity, which means from the beginning with the creation of your soul all the way to the end, or you're going to have a stop-off period somewhere, which means you're going to be blotted out. All right? So, with that thought in mind, God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth, period. Didn't say when. It was billions of years ago. We know that for a fact, for as it is written in Isaiah chapter 18, verse 45, that God created this earth to be inhabited. He didn't create it void, it became that way. For as it is written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, in the Hebrew, tuhu vabuhu, which is to say, the earth became void. Wasn't created that way, became void and without form. Why? Because of Satan's rebellion. Now, what I'm doing is giving you a chronological view, perhaps, of God's plan that will help us better understand this blotting out, because I'm going to take you a little deeper into it today. God, why did God create things? We're made in His image. How many of you like to be alone all your life, shut away, locked up, locking yourself up in solitude, never having a companion, just got it all to yourself? Well, inasmuch as we are made in His image, we have that likeness, but also we have the emotions, the same emotions. I don't like to be alone too much, not all the time. There are times, then on the other hand, that I must be alone. I've got to have that alone time to prepare even for a lecture such as this. But none of us like to be without companionship totally. We like company. We find fellowship a joyful thing, and we enjoy each other. Each of us is a blessing to the other. Well, that's what God created all things for, was for His pleasure, including man, which is to say your soul, because He wanted some company. And God loves good company, okay? Now, to have a good companion, you cannot have a companion that you have programmed like a computer program. Honey, you will wake up at 4 a.m. and put the coffee pot on, wake me at 4:30, gently, and at 4:45, after I've had my first cup of coffee, you will prepare me some over easy, over light, or flop a couple of jacks, you know. And here, you've got a real good mate. I mean, you couldn't ask one better, but how about if she feels like telling you, you do it, all right? She's got to have that ability to think for herself. You're not going to enjoy her company. All you've got is a machine, all right? Now, we can reverse that the other way, and let's take like Deborah could program Doug and say, you fix the coffee, you do the hotcakes. Well, she wouldn't have anything but an automatic Doug computer programmer. That happens to be what he is, and that's why I chose Doug and Deborah to use that illustration. No, you've got to have free will or you've got nothing. But I mean, as far as companionship is concerned, if a person can't express their free will, you don't really know what they're like. And you don't have to be around some people but about 5 minutes, and you know probably all you care to know about them. All right? It just comes through like that. See, people, we're all different. Well, God wanted different folks to love Him. And He has a way of allowing each individual to choose their own like and dislike as to whether they will love Him or not. That's one thing God will not interfere with, is your choice of whether to love God or Satan. Hey, it's your baby. It's all up to you. But I can give you a guarantee and some real good advice. I would get it in my heart to get around to loving God. Because if you choose Satan, you're not going to be around long, and I'm going to document that for you today. You're just not going to be. You're going to be just like we would draw a line on a blackboard, and I probably should have had one today. That's all right. Being a communicator, I'll try to take you through it. As though we drew a line on the blackboard, and then I reach down and get the eraser and erase it. Where is it? Where did it go? It doesn't exist. And using the term aeonis in the Greek, once it's erased, it's as though it never existed. That's the way a lot of people are going to be. That's why there will be no tears for your loved ones that go to hell. Because they're blotted out of your mind. They never existed in a sense. Now, bear with me now. Bear with me. Don't. If this rolls along a little bit, just put it on the shelf and let it sit there as we go to the scripture in a moment and document these things. We're going to be discussing death also and what death means. And I want to give you a scripture that you're all familiar with, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And you don't have to turn there unless you just want to. Feel free to if you choose. Matthew 10, 28 reads, or along from my best regulation, best I can remember, something like this, Jesus' teaching. He said, fear not those that can destroy your flesh body, but rather fear He who can kill not only the flesh, but cause your soul to perish. What does He mean, soul to perish? What is this word, perish? Boy, it means exactly that. Just like you erase the big line, your soul just ain't with us no more. It's gone. And even the memory of you is gone. So what does that mean? As far as we're concerned, you never existed. So how can we shed a tear for you? You're gone. Now, we have another group of people, teachers, that would teach you, oh, yes, my dear friends, there'll be hell fire, burning sulfur, and they're going to be in that pit, and they're going to be screaming, oh, give me a drink of water, just one drop on my tongue as they fry like a piece of bacon and are turned over and over. Here we have this pit right in adjacent to the throne, and we're there with God, and this is heaven. Watch them burn. You know, That just leaves me flat. What kind of God would that be? That, bless their heart, I'm sure there's some have grandmas that just went to sit there and watch grandma fry. I couldn't enjoy heaven if that were the case. And I'm not talking, let's make it grandpa. I'm more comfortable with that, all right? There was never a better woman lived than my grandmother, and I sure don't want to even think about using grandmothers. Bless their hearts. Let's take grandpas. Some of them deserved birth. All right. All right. But I still wouldn't enjoy that. I mean, that really wouldn't be heavenly to me, you know? In the first place, even when I'm barbecuing steaks, if I get them too done, I don't enjoy the smell. For one thing, you know, if you get them to burning up too much and they're crisp, you know you blew it. So we got something wrong, heaven, we've got a cruel God, especially when he made the words, hey, I did not even think about burning your children. You brought it up in your Moloch practices. This is God's words, it never entered my mind. So it gives you something to think about. We have a loving God, but don't ever forget, he is fair. If you deserve to go, hey, you're going to go. If you deserve his love, his comfort, you're going to have it. It's all up to you. So, if we may, let's go to... Now, please remember this. When we go into the millennium age, we've already suffered the first death, which is to say death of the flesh. That's something all of us go through in this generation, perhaps some, just to change. That is to say, in the wink of an eye, just to step into the spiritual man. But when we read concerning the millennium, which it means 1,000 years, that God and his elect will teach on this earth for those that did not have an opportunity to learn, and that is to say, because of false teachings, or one reason or the other, God will never judge anyone to death until they have the true knowledge. Number one, when did God choose his elect? According to Romans chapter 8 and according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, they were chosen before the foundations of this earth. The Greek is kebele, which is to say the overthrow. What kind of body were they in? They were in an angelic soul body, spiritual body, that had full recall. Would it be a little unfair if God judged someone to death then outside when they only had a flesh body that only has about 9% capability to recall things in our little minds because we were born innocent of woman to make that choice whether we would love God or Satan? That's why I think the millennium in the new body, those that did not have the opportunity. And many might say, well, heavens, there's a church on every corner. But what's taught there, my friends? Is the Word of God taught there chapter by chapter, his love? Or do they teach a burning pit forever and ever? You see, figures of speech and idioms confuse many people, and never be drawn into that trap. Forever and ever to ashes, as has been sentenced upon Satan in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18, from within, is a Hebraism, which means, it's a Hebrew idiom, maybe I'll put it that way, that means fini. It's all over. It's done. And when you turn something to ashes forever and ever, that's what it is forever and ever, it's ashes. Or in the acrostic in the 37th Psalm, hidden in the Hebrew manuscripts, there are three triplets, which means there are 22 verses, and 19 of them have four lines, but three of them only have triplets, three lines. And the answer is, what happened? Why is it that it always seems that the evil win? Hidden in this Hebrew is God's truth stating, don't marvel that it seems they always win, second triplet. For as the fat drops from the lamb when it is being roasted into the fire, they go into smoke and turn into vapor, nothingness. third triplet, and you will be there to see it. Meaning, they turn into nothingness. Blotted out. That's my point. Okay, I want you to open your Bibles at this time, if you will, to Revelation chapter 21. What is the meaning of the word death? Now, I want you primarily first, we are here in the year of our Lord, 1993. What time reference does this chapter 21 have? Where are you whereby you can understand what this is saying? It's at the end of the millennium. The millennium has already passed, that 1,000 years after this reign. And God has just made a new earth. More properly translated, He has rejuvenated this earth. So we're going to still be on the same planet. He has rejuvenated this earth, and death and hell are destroyed. How could that be? But bear in mind, you're already in a spiritual body at this time. As Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you don't be ignorant of the fact you've got two bodies. This chunk of meat, this flesh, and a spiritual body. All right? Let's let our minds then go just a little bit, and let's go to the fourth verse. Let's absorb it. The new earth has been, this earth has been rejuvenated. There's no smog. There are even no oceans. It has all been covered whereby it will support. That's documented in verse 1 of this chapter. And incidentally, including the lake of fire, all lakes are covered over. It's gone. And we've got a pretty good old place shaped up here. We know from even in satellite, it's the most beautiful planet, and it's got a lot of goodies on it. Verse 4 reads, "And God shall wipe away." Now, in a sense, that's blot out. You're talking the same word as blot out. Wipe away or blot all tears from their eyes. Boy, won't that mean something? Never sad enough to cry. Never any pain that will bring a tear. Never any disappointment in a loved one that brings forth a tear. All the reasons thereof blotted out. And there shall be no more death. Well, what does this word death mean? We're going to find out in just a minute so that you really can understand it. It means fini. Death means whether you're talking about flesh or whether you're talking about a soul. It's according to which death you're talking about, the first or the second. Remember Matthew 10:28. Fear not he who can destroy this flesh, but he rather that can cause your soul to be blotted out, perish, gone. All right? Now, no more death. Never again, beloved. Never will there be a first, second, or anything else kind of death. It's blotted out. No more need for it. Why? All those that caused death to come to be are not with us anymore, and we don't even remember them. I'll kind of document that here in a minute. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Again, beloved, keep your clock, keep your mental clock set. This is at the end of the millennium, and we've moved into the eternity now, all right? There'll still be some pain and sorrow during the millennium. You're past the millennium. Now, skip down to verse 8, and let's absorb that. Don't make this difficult for yourself. Just let it flow now. Verse 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful, that's to say those that really messed up, and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, this means those that deal in drugs, idolatry, the word comes from pharmacia, which is pharmaceutical, which has to do with drugs, all right? Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did it say they're going to be in there screaming? No, it said they're going to be in there, and that, my friends, is no ifs, no ands, no maybes, the second death. They'll all be gone. Now, Let's back us up another one. We don't want to take just one witness. Let's go to verse chapter 20. Now let's set our mental, spiritual clocks. Where are we in chapter 20 of this book of Revelation? We're in the millennium. As a matter of fact, at the 20th verse, there's not 20 verses in it. In chapter 20, along about verse 13, You're at the end of the millennium at the great white throne judgment. What happens there? That's where the second death takes place. Let's read it. Verse 13. This is after Father came down and destroyed or took control of those that would still go against God when Satan was released a short period. Got it? No flesh bodies, my dear ones. We're in spiritual bodies here. Got it? Okay. And the sea gave up the dead, that's to say those that were spiritually dead even through the teaching in the millennium, which were in it, and death and hell. Who? Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's all of them, my friend. And they were judged every man according to their works. Again, this is at the end of the millennium. And death and hell, verse 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is how it's destroyed. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, or the death of the spiritual body and soul. All right? The incorruptible body that all are raised in, both saints and sinners. Incorruptible in the Greek means it can't get sick, it can't wither, it would live forever. But unfortunately, it is possessed by yet not an immortal soul, but a mortal soul. And mortal in the Greek means liable to die. When? Right here. Okay? Right here at the second death. If they still choose wrong at the end of the millennium, or have not over, not choose, but have not overcome at the end of the millennium. 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And, of course, participated in the second death. Now, a lot of people worry and wonder about where their church letter is. And it's all right. You know what I mean? It's all right to have a church letter somewhere. But you better spend a heap of more time worrying about whether you're in this book or not. His book. Because that letter in a church, it's got your name on it and all that, but God probably won't use those, okay? Now, He may say, that's beautiful and it's wonderful and I'm proud of you. And I want to reiterate, there's nothing wrong with having a church letter in a church somewhere. But do you know why I tell you when you ask to join this church? I don't know what to tell you. Talk to Him. You know, if He takes you, friend, you're good enough for us. You're in. Our church records are in His book, my friend. And that's what you want to be concerned about. Please God. And it should please men. If it doesn't, tough. Just tough stuff, all right? Because if you're pleasing God, anyone that uses common sense and fellowship and love is going to love you. They're not going to turn against you. If you go by this book with your record in His book, make certain you're not blotted out, because that's what the second death does. What does it mean? Would you agree with me that most likely that death, the meaning of the word death in God's vocabulary, would mean the same whether it was the flesh or the spirit body? You know, the same would apply. Well, it just so happens that when he wrote the book Ecclesiastes, the preacher, that is one book that everyone should read as long as you live in the flesh, because it tells you how to get along in the flesh with him and others. That's what it's all about, is telling you how to even be happy while you're in this chunk of meat, all right, is the book of Ecclesiastes. And he starts out, there's nothing new under the sun. But there's one thing for certain he lets you know. is that whether you're rich or whether you're poor or whether you're wise or whether you're foolish or whether you sacrifice or whether you don't care about God, we all go through one thing. What is it? In death. Okay, we all die. Let's just turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I could just repeat this, but I think it's imperative that we read it for ourselves. Ecclesiastes, just following Proverbs, and that's right after Psalms. All right? And you'll have it there. I'm going to be jumping you around just a little bit, but that'll be okay. Okay? He goes on, and I'll just read verse 1 to set your mind there. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. And that's true. Because why? Because of His blessings. If you're righteous, if you try to do right, you're not going to make it all the way, but if you try to do right, your works, they're in the hand of God. He's going to bless it, and you're going to do all right. You'll trip up every once in a while, but you'll do quite fine. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. In other words, when God judges for you for your works, you don't know whether He's going to love you or maybe He's going to correct you a little bit. But what I wanted to get to goes on then and says, list basically the things I did, wise, rich, poor, whatever. Let's go to verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. Now first, under the sun is a Hebraism, which means you that walk in the flesh on the earth under the sun. That's why it's written to your flesh body. It's one of the only books in the Bible that is written and addresses your flesh body and what it amounts to. All right, it helps you understand yourself. Under the sun means your flesh body. That there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. In other words, we're all going to die. It's given that all shall die once. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. You can still go the right way. Right? You still have an intellect. You can still think. You have the thought process, and the flesh possesses your soul. By that I mean, I should say, your soul abides in your flesh, all right? I hope your flesh doesn't possess your soul. If you do, you better be on your knees a little bit tonight, all right? And make the soul possess the flesh instead. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now grab hold of that just a minute. I didn't intend to spend this much time on it, but while we're here, let's do. What's the lion? That's the king of the jungle. And what's a dog? Dirty as a dog. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't, they love dogs and everything, but it's just kind of near the bottom of the totem pole as far as most people figure the kingdom of the animal world, right? And it says right here, if an old lion is dead, he don't know how to hunt.